Hey, Grandma. No, I took a bath last week. Yeah, no, I remembered. I'm getting ready to preach. I'm getting ready to preach at church. Yes, I'm in church. No, I'm not going to screech. Preach. Yeah, I'll call you later, Grandma. Thank you. Oh, I love you too, Grandma. All right, bye-bye. Sometimes our prayers might be as fake as that phone call. Tonight, I want to preach a message entitled Pretending to Pray. Our relationship with God is no better than our prayer life. You remember a fellow named John Bunyan? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He said it more strongly. You are not a Christian if you're not a praying person. Now, I do not pretend to have it figured out, but I have found myself pretending to pray on many occasions. Perhaps something in the message tonight will resonate and will be a help to you as I've looked in my own life and I've looked in the Word of the Lord, and perhaps it'll be a help to you. So let's look into pretending to pray, but first, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. Lord, as we look at just this topic of prayer tonight, I pray that you would help us to listen to your word closely, listen to the Holy Spirit as He works in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to look at this, and Lord, I pray that you would grow me and grow our church in prayer. And Lord, help us to realize where we are not using prayer as we should. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. And I pray that you would help us to be more like Christ when we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Pretending to pray. Three points tonight. Sometimes our prayers can be fake. Sometimes our prayers can be futile. And I can't remember the second point. Sometimes our prayers can be formulaic or a formula. We can pray as if it's a formula. First, our fake prayers. We can be pretending to pray because we are being fake. Now, in several ways. I don't intend to step on toes, but I know I will. We might be pretending to pray because we're being fake. In several ways. We might be pretending to pray if we know God is not listening, but we pray anyway. It's just something we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray at the beginning of a service. We're supposed to pray before we eat. We're supposed to pray at certain times, but we know God's not listening. We don't have His ear. When we talk with our friends, we make sure we have their attention. You're talking with your buddy, and he just kind of looks away and looks at his phone, and you just stop talking after a while. You don't have his attention. And so you say, well, when you're done with what you're doing that's more important, then I'll continue talking. Most of us stop until we have their attention, but do we with God? Or do we just keep cranking out the prayers? Now, God pays attention to what His children have to say. We have that all over the Bible, where God listens to us. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple. My cry came before Him, even into His ears. God hears the prayer of His people. I'm thankful for that. 1 Peter chapter 3, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. We can cry, we can pray, and God will hear. We can have faith through the dark nights that God hears our prayer. And sometimes when we don't seem to get answers, we wonder, we question. But we can come back to these scriptures that say God hears prayer. One of the jobs that Jesus did, one of His ministries that He did, was open up the veil in the temple, a picture of how we can come in prayer to before God the Father. We have access to the throne room. We have access to the throne of mercy, the throne of grace, and we should use it. God pays attention to what His children have to say. Except when He refuses to hear us. Would you turn in your Bible to Micah chapter 3? Micah chapter 3. We've been working through 1 Peter when I have opportunity to preach on Sunday evenings. Pastor asked if I could stay in the theme of prayer. So that's what we're doing this evening. We'll be in several different texts. Micah chapter 3, you can find it right after Jonah, if you know where Jonah is in the Bible. God pays attention except for when he refuses to hear us. Micah is a prophet that doesn't have a lot of great stuff to say. A lot of the minor prophets had a lot of woe and a lot of judgment and a lot of problems because of sin. And this is no exception. In Micah chapter 3, Micah says, "And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel." He's talking to the rulers. "Is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, and who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who eat also the flesh of my people?" They're very graphic what the people who are in charge, the rulers, are doing. But there's a question: shouldn't you know what is right and wrong, but you love what's wrong and you hate what's right? And part of the judgment is in verse 4. "Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them in that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings." God may refuse to hear prayer from us when we refuse God. The people of Israel back in Samuel's day cried, "We want a king. We want a king like the other nations have." And Samuel came to God and he said, "They want a king, but it's wrong." And God says, "I know it's wrong, but they've refused me. Give them a king, Samuel." And 1 Samuel 8:18, Samuel warns the people, "You're going to get a king, but you're not going to like the taxes. You're not going to like him taking your sons and daughters and putting them into work for him. You're going to get what you want, but you're not going to like it at the end." And this is part of what he says in 1 Samuel 8:18, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Here's two instances where people said, "I don't want God." They rejected God. They knew what was right, but they rejected it. And God said, "I'm not going to listen to your prayers. When you're judged, I'm not going to listen." So God will listen to what his children have to say, except for when he refuses to. And we know in Psalm 66, a fairly well-known verse, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." David knew God would not hear his prayers if he's observing sin in his heart. And sometimes we're pretending to pray because we know we're out of sorts with the Lord, but we still pray because we're supposed to, and we're going to eat, and we're going to have church, and we're going to have family devotions, and we're pretending. Is not that what it is? Is it not fakery to say, "I'm going to pray, I know God's not hearing me, but I'm going to do it anyway"? That doesn't sound very, very helpful. So what should we do? When we know we're not reaching God's ear, we should stop praying and stop faking, because pretending isn't going to help. Ever been in somebody's presence when they just say, I can't pray right now because I'm not right with the Lord and I need to get that fixed"? You ever been around somebody that had the courage and the boldness to be honest? Say, I can't fake it because I just need to get right and then I can pray. Well, that's the key. God won't, when we're regarding iniquity, when we're rejecting what God says clearly, pretending isn't going to help. We need to stop and we need to figure out what's going on. Sometimes God allows prayers to go unanswered because he's trying to tell us something. And our prayers aren't getting answered. What's going on? R.A. Torrey wrote this in his book, How to Pray. He said, "If there's anything that is constantly coming up in your moments of close communion with God, that is the thing that hinders prayer. So put it away." You know, you're praying about this and that and the other, and something just kind of keeps coming into your mind, and you just keep saying, "Nah, that's not a big deal," or "I think I handled that okay." but it just kind of keeps coming up when you're trying to draw nigh to God, and I think God's trying to tell you something. You need to get that sorted out and taken care of. So try to figure out what's going on rather than carrying on. And then confess. I acknowledge our sin to God. Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. God will hear that prayer. God will hear that prayer. The other ones are fake. God will hear that prayer. When I confess, you'll be just and righteous to forgive my sin. Once that sin's confessed, the line's open. God will forgive and listen. Before, he would not hear. Now he listens. Now we're back to that sweet where I can cry unto the Lord and he'll hear me. Sometimes we pretend to pray because we know God's not listening, but we pray anyway. We might be pretending to pray if we're not telling God what we're really thinking. We could pray everything else except for what really kind of is bothering us, what we're really thinking about. Hebrews chapter 4:12 tells us the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And isn't it amazing when you read your Bible? You come across a verse in, say, Exodus chapter 21, and you're looking at something that's just like, whoa, you know, Hebrew servants and laws about usury, and how does this apply? And then something comes into mind. And the Word of God knows what we're thinking and knows what we're planning, and God has something just hop off the page, and you're like, I need to do this in this situation. I need to go make that right. I need to go, this is the decision I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to make. We have a lot on our mind. Death, money, taxes this time of year. April 15th, that's coming quick. The doctor's visit, isn't that weighing on our minds? The broken down car. You know, we have a lot on our minds, on our hearts. We might pray about a lot of things, but it's not spiritual just to thank God for the day and for the food and then to move on. Because that's not what's really going on. And it's fakery to say, I'm good, when you're not really. And say, I'm doing fine, Lord, but you're not really. It's not more spiritual to gloss over the hardship you're struggling with. It's not more spiritual to hide from God what you really think. It's not spiritual to doubt in your heart and just bring out to God in prayer what is acceptable to pray. Sometimes we only pray what's acceptable. We only say the things that are proper and right, and we're being fake. We're pretending because we're not really telling God what is on our heart. God wants to hear what's on our heart. He knows what's on our heart. He knows what we're struggling with. He knows the doubts. He knows the hurt. He knows the confusion, the sorrow. So when you have something heavy on your heart, something bothering you, pray that. I know a lot of us do. A lot of us, that's what we pray. Sometimes that's when we pray, when there's things bothering us. But don't just gloss over everything. Everything's fine. Lord, thank you for the day, and I got all my problems myself. We can pray like the Father, help my unbelief. Lord, I need you. That's being real when we pray that way. So bring those prayers to the Lord. You're not going to surprise him with anything you say. We might be pretending to pray if we're the object of our prayers. If we're the one the prayer is really directed towards or focused on. You remember the story of the Pharisee, the publican? They went up to the temple to pray. That's why they went. The Pharisee said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like everybody else and that I do this and that I do that and I'm so great. And look at this guy over here. And the Pharisee you can see he's the object of his prayer. He wants other people to think well of him. He wants everybody to know how good he is. And he tacks on, I thank thee, Lord, and then just talks about himself. And you can really see he's the object of his prayer. He's really lying when he addresses it to God. That's my opinion. I think, oh yeah, Lord, I thank you that I'm so great. And he really is the focus of his prayer. And we're pretending if we're the focus and God's not the focus. We must be honest in our conversation with God. Not fake. We need to be real and honest. Tell him what's going on. If he's not listening, figure out why. Get that right. And then get back to praying. We might be pretending to pray because we're being fake. Secondly, we might be pretending to pray because we're just praying a formula. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. I know this message sounds like just beating up on people. I'm trying to encourage us, maybe we're not where we think we are. And let's get there. God will hear our prayers. Let's be real. Let's be honest with him. Second, formula prayers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, familiar verse on prayer. Pastor preached on it a couple, probably January, February. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We might be pretending to pray if we're praying by color. Sometimes kids, they paint by color. You know, they have all the shapes, and color number 1 you put in these spots, and color number 3 you put over here, and color number 2, and you paint by color, and you don't really know what's going on until you're finished. And then you have your picture. Sometimes we pray by color. We learn a formula, and then we just kind of stiffly pray through it. Now, there's a lot of good, helpful things. You know, the first thing we need to do is cats, I think. Confess, and then adore, and then thank God, and then supplicate. So we have a little acronym. There's different methods and things you can find in books about prayer. But sometimes, well, it's one thing to premeditate before you pray. It's one thing to think about what you're going to say. It's another thing to take a formula and just check each line and say, okay, I got to thank God, so what can I thank God for today? The weather, okay. And then I need to confess something, and I'm good on that. I need to adore God for something. So sometimes we just try to plug in all the pieces, and then we've prayed. And that's, well, let's pick on the Catholics with the rosary. That's vain repetition, right? You got this string of beads. There's like 59, 60 beads. And you pray one, Our Father, which art in heaven, and then you pray 10 Hail Marys. And then another one goes to God and 10 more to Mary. And you go around and you pray 59, 60 prayers. It's dead wrong to pray to anybody other than God. It's wrong. To be discerning, could it be helpful to you to look at the Lord's Prayer and meditate on it? That's kind of what we're doing, Pastor's been doing for the last couple weeks. Would it be wrong to pray the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer? No, but do you know how people could get stuck up on it? And Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it just become a formula. Could it be helpful to actually think through what we are about to say to God Almighty? Rather than say, Dear Lord, what am I going to say? I think it could be. I think it could be helpful to have a formula per se. But if that's all we're doing, we're missing it. You remember John Bunyan? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in jail. He was sentenced to 12 years in jail because he was holding church services. Little background there. The law of the land prohibited, sounded kind of like some laws we had a couple years ago. A law of the land prohibited more than 5 non-family members from gathering together for religious meetings. And the idea was, they didn't want insurrectionists to meet together and overthrow the government. And that's not what John Bunyan was trying to do. But they said, no meetings for religious purposes with any more than 5 people that aren't in your family. Well, he got caught doing that because he was preaching. And they threw him in jail. He was convicted. He went to trial, and then they sentenced him to 12 years. While he was in jail, another law was passed called the Act of Uniformity. It provided that preachers had to be ordained by the state church, the Anglican Church, And another facet was the Book of Common Prayer had to be used in the for the public prayers in church. That was the liturgy of the church. You had certain scriptures that you would read, and you have certain prayers that you pray for different occasions. And that was supposed to be, that was the law of the land. All the churches were supposed to do that. Bunyan was in prison already, and he decides to write a pamphlet called A Discourse Touching Prayer against that law. Here's a couple things he wrote about it. He said, without the Holy Spirit, though we had 1,000 common prayer books, yet we would not know what we should pray for as we ought. And listen to this observation. He equated those who pray the prayers of other men's making with those in 2 Timothy chapter 3, those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. He had nothing nice to say about written prayers that were very nice, poetically put down and polished, and everything was just so, and you hand that book to the bishop or the person leading services, and you say, here, read this prayer for the occasion. You know, there's a prayer for when the church doesn't have a pastor. There's a prayer for when the church gets a pastor. There's a prayer for a wedding. There's a prayer for the funeral. And just prayer for all these different occasions. And they're all pretty good when you read them. I say all. I didn't read them all. Some of the ones I read were pretty good. Like, they were very thorough. They were very worshipful. They didn't miss a lot. And it wouldn't be wrong to pray that prayer. But if you get up and you read words on a page, it's a formula. You see, it's not just like a blanket, no, don't ever read a written prayer. Don't ever pray one, because I think you can, but John Bunyan was like, you can't even do that. He was that much against it, because that's what was happening in his day. There was this law being passed. Don't think for a moment that we Baptists don't have unwritten formulas for our prayers. Don't we, Brother Love, sometimes? There's just certain elements that, you know, hey, would you pray and open our service? And you can almost quote what the guy's going to pray. I'm thankful there aren't many quotable prayers in our church. Growing up, I remember a couple that, I mean, he could have had a tape recorder or an MP3 player. He could have just hit play, and it would have been the same prayer, and that's what it was every time he was called on to pray. We have a formula. And I'm not saying formulas are all bad. They can help keep us on track. But if that's all we're doing, we might be pretending. Can we successfully pray a written prayer when our hearts are resonating with it? Yes. Can we fail to pray meaningfully when we're making it up as we go along? We can. So it's not so much where the words come from, but about the words that you mean. We need to pray meaningfully. We need to pray with meaning. We might be pretending to pray if we isolate it to a moment in the morning. That might be our formula. We'll pray in the morning. We'll pray for our meals. And we'll pray in the morning, and we'll pray for our meals. And we'll pray in the morning, and that's our formula. We might be pretending. It's one thing to talk to God in the morning, and it's another thing to talk with him through the day. Now, Daniel excelled all of us. Daniel, Old Testament, Book of Daniel, Prophet Daniel, wrote a book of the Bible, Daniel. He excelled all of us. And he made it a practice to pray at specific times throughout the day, morning, noon, night, morning, noon, night, morning, noon, got caught, thrown in the den of lions. Because he was consistent, he had specific times. My question is, was it the specific times that make his praying powerful, or did his powerful praying make him have specific times? And I don't have an answer. Yes, maybe is the answer. But if all we do is we say, okay, I'm going to pray and I've prayed, then we move on. That's not a life of prayer. That's not praying without ceasing. We might be pretending to pray if we are so consumed with our problems that we barely give thought to the one we're talking to. Dear Lord, I have this problem, and I need this wisdom, and there's this facet of it, and I don't know how to deal with that person in regards to it. And And our problem is everything and God is nothing. And we're kind of pretending. We might be busy parsing out the pros and cons, bouncing between two decisions that we don't even look to the Lord when we're asking for wisdom. We might ask a blessing on our food, but we don't hardly give the blesser a thought. When we pray meaningfully, we can't pray by color. We need to know what we're doing. We can't just pray a formula and say, well, I've prayed. I've communed with God. Read R.A. Torrey. Read E.M. Bounds. Read some of the men who have written. Read John Bunyan, A Discourse Touching Prayer. Read Richard Baxter. Read some of these fellas on prayer, and they'll tell you, hey, don't bother praying until you get in touch with God. Until you know God's listening. Like, don't even bother. Just be quiet before him until you know that you have communication with him, and then pray meaningfully. We might be pretending to pray if we trust in the prayer rather than in God. Now, I struggled with this when I was younger. Did I pray the right prayer when I got saved? What was I doing? I was saying, my prayer, was it good enough? My prayer, did it get the message all the way to heaven or did it fall short? My prayer, was it strong enough? Mustard seed size faith is what God was looking for. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. It was my struggles were put to rest when I realized that all that come to Jesus, he says, I will in no wise cast out. 1 John chapter 5, he that believeth not God hath made God a liar. That's the verse God used to really put my salvation doubts to rest, because I said, I'm just doubting God. I know I'm trusting in him now. I know I called upon him. I'm just doubting what he says. And that was put to rest because instead of trusting the prayer now, I'm trusting God who heard the prayer. We got to pray meaningful prayers. And if we're following a formula, we are in danger of pretending. Third, futile prayers. Futile, however you say that word. Worthless. They don't accomplish anything. They're not useful. Going through the motions. We might be pretending to pray, and this is the only sub-point I have on this point, so we might be pretending to pray if we are not after anything. If we're not going after anything. You say, well, I ask God for lots of stuff in my prayer. Well, good. God wants us to bring what we need to him. But if we're not after anything, in prayer we might praise the Lord, and that's good. We may ask. That's fine. We may confess. Good. But sometimes our prayers, I believe, border on the futile. We pray because we're supposed to pray. There's no heart desire to see God receive the glory and the power in the kingdom. There's little focus on what he desires in my life. And it's about my problem or it's about this or that. But I'm not really after anything. I just open my mouth, words come out, and I close my mouth, and I've prayed. John Bunyan wrote this. I paraphrased this bit here. But he said, when you set out to pray to the Lord of heaven and earth, consider these two points. Number one, seriously think about what you want. What are you after? Do not, as many who only beat the air and ask for things they do not desire, nor see that they need. So the first one, seriously think about what you want. Secondly, when you see what you want, pray that and make sure you pray sensibly. Pray with some sense. Figure out what God wants you to pray about and then pray it. Brother Love preached two weeks ago, about how to get your prayers answered and pray in accordance with God's will. That's praying useful prayers. Those are prayers that will get answered. Would you turn to Luke chapter 11? Luke chapter 11. R.A. Torrey put a note in his book on how to pray. Many women pray for the conversion, the salvation of their husbands, but they do not really want it because of all the change that she would have to endure to see that happen. And sometimes we pray that God will make us better men or better fathers, but we don't really want that because we're not willing to put in the footwork to make that happen. Sometimes we pray things that we don't really mean, and we're not praying useful prayers. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, I see some really specific useful prayer going on here. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, and Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? That's at midnight, 12 o'clock in the evening. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Look down in verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What did the friend want when he came to his other friend, his neighbor? He wanted 5 loaves of bread. What did he want them for? Well, to give to this traveling friend who came in late at night. When did he need them? Right away. I need them now. So what's the application in verse 13? Well, pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a little bit of debate among commentators, but I think that we can pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit's influence in our life. And what the Holy Spirit will do in our life, we should pray for that. And we should pray like this friend did. Lord, I need 5 of them. And I need them right now because of this joker outside my door. You know, this guy who's berating me, or I'm berating him, or, you know, this problem that's going on. And we pray because we want the Holy Spirit's power and influence in my life. So let's pray specifically. Let's not just pray just some prayer out of a book. Let's not just pray some nice words that we've heard in church, somebody else said. Let's pray something useful. Lord, I need wisdom for my decision. Pray for power to bite your tongue. Pray for love to overlook a fault. Pray for joy to get through the struggle. Pray for peace to calm the angst. Pray for patience to endure the aggravation. Pray for gentleness. Pray for goodness to help another. Pray for faith when doubt is strong. Pray for meekness when self rises up. Pray for control when passion flares. Pray useful prayers. Pray what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit, so that way I respond right to this person, because I sure want to snap their head off. That's the kind of prayer that will get answered, because it's God's will prayer. It's what God wants in the situation, and the Holy Spirit's praying for it, and the Lord's standing on the Father's right hand making intercession for us. That's the kind of prayer that we should be praying. Something specific, something useful, not bless this day, bless the missionaries. I pray, Lord, give us a good day. I do. But we need to be a little more specific. We need to pray useful things, not futile things. If we're not after anything, we shouldn't be discouraged that we don't receive anything. So let's pray something that we could use, that God would use in our life. So my question for you tonight, are we just pretending when we pray? Are we being fake? Are we just praying a formula? Are we praying useless, futile prayers? Let's strive this week. Let's think. Let's be honest. Let's be meaningful. And let's pray useful prayers.